This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody. 10 to 2. On 670, the...
Ben Johnson did acknowledge many things today, so we will listen now.
Between you and LaFleur, you know, the two wins things, the handshakes, beyond, you know, getting this important playoff win, why is this important to you, or is there something personal beyond that?
This is a rivalry, and City of Chicago, Green Bay, it needs to be a rivalry.
Hold on! That was the answer!
Ooh. You!
Big fella, you've managed to piss off every single one of them.
That was the plan.
Not a great plan.
I have an army.
We
have
Ben Johnson.
Not only is he ready to inflame this rivalry even more, every turn, every opportunity he gets, he will inject more.
Eric, how many times have I told you don't poke the bear? Don't poke the bear!
So there were times where I'd say to myself, like, the story writes itself, when I'd have to write a news story or a sports story when at my job.
Yeah.
Or like the show. You're like, show produces itself today. Coach produces the angles himself today.
It's true. I don't have to worry about it. I could back off. I could do my job part-time. You know what I mean? The stirring.
Come on. Stir the pot. Stir the melting pot. Bam.
It's going to continue in this fashion and manner, and he's going to try to kick in the teeth of the Green Bay Packers at every turn.
It needs to be a rivalry.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. That's what I'm saying. Like, I was thinking about that as I was walking home from Soldier Field at whatever time it was, as I was walking back home, I was thinking about how he just, like, there's a genuine, like, hey, and the players, like, usually we just sort of make that up. Like, these two teams don't like each other. Those two teams don't really like each other.
It needs to be a rivalry.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Score. The
Score. And it is a rivalry, so much so that we wanted to do a second day of not turning the page. I joked in the pre-show meeting, we ain't turning the page until next year. All in favor of not turning the page against the Packers, say aye.
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 Is it? Did you clear this with TTP Industries?
TTP Industries is separate. This is emotional turning of pages.
Okay.
All opposed? All right. I didn't hear anybody. Did you guys?
Thought I heard a faint cricket somewhere.
Something fell off the truck.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes. I'm Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. We thank you for joining us this morning. I'm gonna heat check this just to start. It is 10:06 on Tuesday, the 13th of January. Has it finally set in that the Bears beat the Packers yet? For me, I think it was last night. I finally accepted it. Like, wholeheartedly, because I was still in disbelief. I can't believe they won that game mode until last night. And then I was like, they won that game. They won. They won.
Preparing for the show Monday morning, so I needed that second day to let it all settle in. I think that's when I was literally walking to work Monday morning is when I was like, you know what? The Bears are still alive, and they beat the Packers to do it.
Where I am is the adrenaline factor. Yeah. As like all day yesterday, I was still at a 10. Like, I can, no matter how little sleep I had had. As a matter of fact, on my walk home yesterday, I was like, I gotta do something to zap some of this. So I put System of a Down through my head and through my ears. I put Rage Against the Machine through my. I was just like trying to hit it hard. And I got home, and then Weeder and I recorded the podcast. I was still on a 9, and at that simultaneously, Weeder was like, I'm starting to feel my crash. Right at this very moment, I think I was still at a 9.5. I think I'm at a 6.5 now. Like, the adrenaline, I'll gauge it by adrenaline and not so much just accepting that they won. My adrenaline is finally starting to level off a little bit. Like, I don't really want to lose the adrenaline, but it needed to level off. It's like when you're over-caffeinated and it's just like you got to do something to quell some of it. I finally feel like the quelling is occurring.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was nice.
actually run or something like that to like club bangers.
Exactly.
Studs, I think, is a metal running guy.
Metal, yeah. Workout, like yeah. Whatever you have to do. I mean, I just happen to use music and a very rapid walk home to try to sting some of the adrenaline. Didn't work, but it's naturally starting to diffuse right now.
Walking is the best form of burning energy.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, how about that?
It's the most essential, movement.
So, wow. Well, yeah. I burn 40 minutes of energy every day just walking here and back every day.
I love that.
The evolution of social media has delayed the ability to level off, as you just described it, because every time you open your phone, it used to be you might get a message from someone, right? And, it's taking me back. But now if you open up Twitter, Instagram, anything, there's new stuff related to what happened on Saturday night. And it just reminds you and takes you back to that mode. And that's why you've had such a difficulty leveling off. And that's okay.
Well, and I'm thinking
I'm already more of those that Bears Packers content.
Got some, and I'm already thinking about, like, I know we're living in the Packers still, but my brain is thinking about the Rams. I'm thinking about Saturday now that we know the time. I'm thinking about my walk to Soldier Field already. I'm already thinking about the bells. Who's going to sing the anthem? What's the noise going to be like? Like, so that brings the adrenaline back up again.
Your mind might be there, but trust me, your heart's still with the Packers game.
Well, I'll be honest with you guys. Like, I am all for all the Packers stuff we're going to do. Like, there is part of me that just wants to jump off and get to the next because I'm so excited about what's going on in this postseason for the Chicago Bears. So believe it or not, as much as I'd like stomping on the Packers, I'm stomping, and we're going to do more stomping today, and I'm all for it. Yes, I am thinking about Sunday.
Does it? Yeah, and while you're saying that, you know what's happening in my head while you're like kind of amping up? Because what time did I text you guys last night, my five on it questions?
After my bedtime.
1 o'clock in the morning.
So that's where I was. No nap, no nothing. I was just like kind of still in that space.
Yes.
And like vibes. While you're talking, the whole point, like the whole time I hear just like the slow fade of the guitar intros and riffs from Du Hast from Rammstein, like stuck in my head. Like the whole time. It's just like Mark's like, and then I'm thinking about my walk to the Rams game. And now we found out the time of the Rams game and it's at 5:30 on Sunday afternoon. And then I'm thinking about the energy that we're coming off of with this Packers game. And I didn't sleep and I was up way too late. And then it just starts to build. And then the next thing you know, you're back in that space.
Du Hast.
And I'm like, oh, let me read this article that Mike Sando wrote about the Packers, quote, strategy, end quote, against the Bears and how that worked out for them. And I'm like, oh, did everybody send me the video of the guys streaming play-by-play on Twitch? Yes, they did. Maybe I'll watch it again. And
not that video.
This is what happens. This is what happens.
So I'm there with all the new videos and still discovering new things, but I'm also like, how are they going to stop Puka Nacua?
And
how are they
going to
stop
the
him?
It's like,
I don't know if they're going to stop.
They don't stop anybody until they do.
That's what I'm saying.
They don't stop anybody until they do.
You're listening to Metal in the Morning with Raheem Harrison Brody on 670 The Score.
Wake up! What did you put in a little makeup?
See?
The timing of that.
See?
Oh, Tyler, did we just become a team just now? Wake up! Oh, we did it again!
You call him Tyler. I call him Timler.
Oh, he's a beaut. That's what he
is. Tyler Buterbaugh. Like, it's here. This is what happened. Is his open yesterday? We had this plan for the show. We were all copacetic about it. We agreed. And then Tyler played that open. And I'm like, how does it feel, guys? How does it feel?
Wake me up one more time, will you, Tyler?
Let's do it.
Wake up! Put a little makeup.
I do like that.
I did
that.
Yes.
You put a little bit of makeup?
I wanted a little bit of makeup. To, yeah.
You wanted to.
I don't put
the rest of the lyrics, I don't know. But
I think it's actually you want to do, but I changed it because it made more sense. Okay, so now that we've sufficiently given you a little bit of energy.
Yes.
I did have a good laugh at how many times this season were we asking ourselves, what is the Bears' identity? And remember when they started to run the football, for example, we're like, well, ladies and gentlemen, the Bears have finally found an identity. We're all proud of ourselves. We thought that was it. But then they've evolved the run game. Then they've also built the passing game off the run game, which is what they told us they would do. So then we're like, well, that's not so much the identity. Then it was like, well, they kept winning games that last year they wouldn't win. So then that kind of became the identity. And then it only took us, after the regular season concluded, for Ben Johnson to say after the game, on top of his team's 7th fourth quarter comeback, the most improbable, where they outscored their rival in the third meeting in the playoffs, 25-6. Now we found out the identity.
After 3 years of writing, 1 year of shooting, 4 years of reshooting, and 2 years of editing, I have finally completed my movie, Threat Level Midnight.
Which is pretty much how I felt about this. I'm like, cool, it only took us until after the regular season. But when he was asked about it, Ben Johnson, I feel like, has not only answered all of our questions about the team, but he'll also answer the questions we have about who his team is. And that's something that, with previous head coaches for the Bears, I have not experienced in such a way. So he admits to this after the game, I think just kind of like, I feel like he was just shooting the breeze when he said it. Like, it was just stream of consciousness. That's where it came out. Let's listen to what he had to say about that specifically.
When did you get a sense that maybe the players, the locker room, the team kind of took on your identity?
Shoot. I don't know that. You know, you try to, like I said before, you're consistent. You see your messaging get talked about a little bit more over the course of the season. I think our assistant coaches do a phenomenal job of things that we think are important going into a week, instilling that throughout the week with our players. And as I've talked about all year long, we have some really good veteran leaders that help the cause. They help to keep the focus on football. It's a long season. There can be a lot of distractions that go on, and we're no different than any other team. We've had to deal with those every step of the way, and yet our guys, they show up and they're ready to play on game day. And so that's, I don't know that necessarily identity, anything like that, but yet I am proud of how these guys have approached each and every game, each and every week, and each and every day, because it's hard. It's hard to stay focused and dialed in and be at your best at all times.
So that's when he talked about his team taking on his identity. But then he also said after the game on Saturday night, he was like, I guess this has become our identity, talking about the comebacks. Number 7 after the end of that incredible Packers game. And that's where I think we're at. It's not just, they do repeat what Ben Johnson has to say in an authentic way. That's not lip service. They do reflect his identity.
What is his identity?
So
I don't know what his identity is.
I think
good, better, best.
I feel like, but when it comes to Ben Johnson talking about the team, it's they win these games. You cannot count them out.
But seriously though, like when he's asked the question, I think it's Biggs asking, when did the players start to take on your identity? What is Ben Johnson's identity? Is he talking about the good, better, best stuff? Like, is it like the mentality of coming back in the fourth quarter? Like, what have they taken on from Ben Johnson? Now that I hear that cut, I'm trying to figure that. I know what the identity of the Bears is. It is winning games late, period.
We'll see.
That was it to me. He said it after the game. That part of it he said after the game on Saturday.
But that's not Ben Johnson's identity.
No.
Because he asked the question, when did the players start taking on your identity? I don't think Ben Johnson came into Halas Hall with the identity of we're going to win games in the fourth quarter and we're not going to play well for three quarters. So I don't know. Am I nitpicking here too much? Like what is Ben Johnson's identity?
Well, and this is the quote that I was looking for, and that's similar, but this he says, I think that's our identity here at this point. Some say it's not sustainable, and that's what he said Saturday after the game. And that's where I was coming from.
Yeah.
Was that Saturday postgame quote when he brought that up, because I felt like it was true. It is their identity, winning these games. Can you count the Bears out of any game?
No.
Ever again.
No, I won't.
as long as Ben Johnson is, we have it. Okay, sorry for that. There's been a lot of discussion about identity. Let's listen to that one too.
And you've seen this all season. See it again tonight. Are you just amazed by what this team can do?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's our identity here at this point. And some people say it's not sustainable. I don't know. You know, it's the takeaways are, you know, that's who we are on defense and, you know, on offense. It's explosive plays. That's kind of what we've done all year long and coming up in big moments. And as a team, it's just resiliency and knowing that late in the fourth quarter, that's really when we're at our best as a football team. So we'll keep striving to be better earlier in games and starting faster and all that. But you know, that's gives us something to work towards, but I can't be any more proud of this crew than I am right now.
So that's Ben Johnson telling you that he realizes and admits that the actual identity of this team is what we saw not only in that game, but over the course of seven fourth quarter comeback wins authored by Caleb Williams in games in which you thought they were not going to win, whether you want to talk about a blocked field goal in the last second against the Raiders, whether you want to talk about a game-winning field goal, whether you want to talk about an onside kick recovered in the second meeting against the Green Bay Packers. I think the realization has now hit us all that we thought that when the Bears beat the Eagles in Philadelphia and put up 281 yards rushing, this is what's going to take us all the way through a playoff run to a playoff berth to an NFC North title. And at the time, we thought this is what their identity is going to be. They are bad mofos up front. They are willing running backs in Kyle Manunga and, of course, DeAndre Swift, who can tote the ball any kind of way. And Ben Johnson's going to draw it up as such. But since that game, they rushed for 138, 142, 150, 110, 65, and only 93 yards. And because of that, Ben Johnson realizes it's win or go home every week, and I just got to live with what I got. And what he has right now is not quite as effective an offensive line, but he still has a team that no matter what happens through a half or three quarters, they believe they can win in the fourth quarter.
Well, and that Saturday postgame quote was it, because I was like, I thought about that Saturday postgame quote, and I was like, okay, cool. So it only took us until after the regular season to figure out who this team is, and thank goodness they're still playing, but that's it. It's win at all costs right now. And think about last season when they found every single possible way to lose. Think about last season.
Yeah, it was horrible. What I like about this before we take the break is that Ben Johnson has allowed the identity of his team to be organic, to be what it is, even if it's clearly not what Ben Johnson wants the identity to be. He wants the, and you heard him kind of laugh saying, some people think it's not sustainable. He knows it's not sustainable.
Mark Rohde knows it's not sustainable. In 2025.
Players know it's not sustainable.
For the 2025 season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's totally sustainable this whole year. If they go to this, they might go have 25 points in the fourth quarter in their next three games, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh.
They might have that. Like, you can't count against that, but you can probably count against that stuff next year, that's for sure. So I like that he's allowed it to be organic, but that's just, we know, that's why I was hitting you guys up with the question of what's Ben's identity, because this ain't Ben's identity. His identity is run the football, play smooth, eat up the clock,
play
long
action
drives, play action, play a have a representative defense. That's his identity.
I think
the tie-in, though, is the aggression. Ben Johnson is aggressive, and comebacks are aggressive.
Okay, that's
I
good.
I think that's the tie-in.
That's part of his identity, is being aggressive. That's good, Ray.
Be aggressive.
I'm just going to throw this out there. My video, like, when I hear Ben Johnson, you know what flashes through my mind, like the video highlight right now? It's that quarter of a second handshake with him and Matt LaFleur, and then subsequently also celebrating so much he fell down on the field. So
yeah, we haven't talked much about that.
No,
have we
have not, and we should. Also, while we're trying to work through all of that, guess what just happened?
No,
what?
Yeah,
what?
This isn't
like
good,
it.
And
what?
I'm
I don't like it.
No. But hey, Tyler, play the music again.
Way up.
The San Francisco Giants are aggressively pursuing this, according to Jeff Passan, a second baseman, and have been engaged with Chicago on Nico Hoerner. And St. Louis on Brendan Donovan, sources tell ESPN. An infield of Matt Chapman, Willie Adames, Donovan, or Hoerner and Rafael Devers would be among MLB's best. Nico Hoerner went to Stanford. He's from the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what makes it soak in a little bit more.
Urge to kill, rising. This is not what I wanted.
Grody said he's good with telling Nico.
If you get something back,
right.
Let's not be too emotional about this now.
Play third.
It's
in the words of Rafael
week.
Devers, I play third.
I love Nico, but if you get something real for him, let's act like this is a team that we want to see go to the World Series. Sometimes you got to make hard moves.
You think that you without
make,
Nico Hoerner, they're going to have a better chance of going to the World Series?
No, I'm saying let's see what you can get. You know, I didn't want the Bulls to trade Charles Oakley, but, you know, worked out pretty well with Bill Cartwright. You know what I'm saying?
But the difference is the Bulls had other guys.
Yeah. They did. I'm just saying.
Nico Batta nearly 300, and it's like, well, gotta trade him.
Hey, the Boston Red Sox traded Garcia Parra in the middle of a World Series season. Like, you got to do wild things sometimes.
They had other players on the team.
Teams that win make ballsy moves, and that would be a ballsy move.
Trading Scottie Pippen. That's not what you do in this case.
Oh, so Nico Horner's a superstar now.
Nico Horner was one of the best players on the Cubs last year. Tell me all the players were better than Nico Horner last year.
He's terrific.
Tell me all the players better than Nico Horner last year.
He was absolutely terrific for the Cubs last year. But to say, like, if you can get good stuff back for Nico Horner, like, you just don't do it? That's crazy.
That's not what I'm saying.
That's crazy talk.
He's higher on that list than the teams you're referring to and other guys on the team.
I think I just uncovered a way to short circuit Mark Grody brain.
How's that?
It's the Cubs breaking news inside the Bears topic that does it for you.
I like it.
Happened before? Is there a precedent?
Oh, it has. I'll tell you in a second. In the meantime, what do we want to do here? We want to react to this breaking news since we've got her. Do we want to do our original discussion?
He gave us a thumbs up.
What's that mean?
Well, you two have a vote. What do you want to do?
Oh. I mean, we can talk about the Cubs if you want. Yeah, that's fine.
I just am not okay with this.
Okay, let's get it out.
Yeah, all right. All right.
Damn it.
Let's talk
we had a good
Cubs.
One planned, but that's okay. We Cubs. Can do that.
We're
going to
get back to
45.
It. We got more on the Bears identity Bears. Coming up in this show.
Cubs.
That's it. We're horribly late to break. So sorry about that, guys. Bye.
Listen to Raheemi, Harris, and Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Yeah, I see most of. I mean, things are inevitably sent to me, especially when it's like connected to the Giants. Like, people here obviously get excited about things like that. It's hard to explain to people that things can both be like, yes, that's not false reporting, but that also doesn't really mean anything. It's like, it's hard to navigate that space, I think. But yeah, I see stuff.
That's Nico Horner. As you know, he's a regular on our afternoon show, Spiegel and Holmes. This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And the breaking news that derailed us is courtesy of Jeff Passan. San Francisco Giants are aggressively pursuing a second baseman and have been engaged with Chicago on Nico Horner and St. Louis on Brendan Donovan, sources tell ESPN. This was the fear. This was the fear when they announced the Alex Bregman signing Saturday night during that Bears game, more Bears talk in our next segment, by the way, that somebody had to go because unfortunately this is how we've been conditioned. And all of us, I think, were saying, well, I know you and I were, Marshall, that, okay, if that's the case, if you're really actually trying to improve your offense as a whole on the team and trying to replace Kyle Tucker's offense, which is no easy task, I sure as hell hope that you're not going to trade the 300 hitter. Nico Horner will be in his last year of his contract. He's set to make $11.666667 million this season. Matt Shaw, for example, has multiple years of control coming up as a rookie last season. Nico Horner finished second in batting average to Trey Turner, 304 in the National League. Nico was 297 for the season. Arguably his best year. So there's two schools of thought here. Do you keep Nico Horner to add to the Cubs offense as a whole? Or do you try to trade with what could be, in Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins' minds, trading high? It is quite the conundrum and one that I think we all kind of knew was coming just based on how this team operates.
I think other teams are circling the Cubs now, like vultures, saying, we see your situation with your salary and how you're dangerously close to having to pay the luxury tax. Let us take that problem off your hands by taking a guy making $12 million off of your team, and Nico Horner will gladly replenish you with young talent that is salary controlled for the next, you know, 5+ years. And I think the issue is, back to what we were just talking about, when we're talking about all the other trades that are made that seem crazy maybe at the time, Grody didn't want Charles Oakley gone from the Bulls, but you had a Michael Jordan and a Scottie Pippen. My point was this. It's very simple. According to Baseball Reference, he had the 8th highest WAR in baseball last year at 6.2. And if you want to go with Fangraphs, his baseball WAR was still at, what, 4.8? Which is still 27th and second only to Pete Crow Armstrong on the Cubs. He is an essential part of why they were able to win as many games as they did last year and go back to the playoffs.
He's a terrific player. There's no doubt about it. But I'll go back to two words Layla just said. Trading high. It's a scary thing to do. It's a gutsy thing to do. And like I gave a couple of examples of times where – I was thinking about her. I've given all these like old example, Herschel Walker back in the day, like the shocker. So all
that
I'm saying,
that was a deal they couldn't refuse.
That was a deal they couldn't refuse. There's no doubt about it. So all I am saying is I agree with everything you just said. And yes, Nico Horner is a friend of the station. And even if he left, I'd like to think Nico Horner would still be a friend of the score. Like all that stuff. I've gotten to be. We did a remote with the man. So I love Nico Horner in every way, shape, or form. But let's listen to what the Cubs might get back. Let's think about how it could fortify the team, not just for 1 or 2 years, but into the future as well.
2032.
It's not out of I know that like you went through all the numbers. It's not crazy to think that you could get a better I know that's crazy that you could get a better player in the future for somebody like Nico Horner while not hurting your team right now.
Well, I get it, but at the same time, they were able to trade the farm and a guy who ended up making the All-Star team in Isaac Paredes to get 1 year of Kyle Tucker. So now you don't want to pay for 1 year of your own homegrown offense, where again, he's producing and lengthening the lineup, defensively had a career year, offensively had a career year. It contradicts even that move by itself.
Don't you think the Cubs
Why can't you have both? Why is it so hard to have both?
I'm all about the greed portion. I've said that greed is good.
It's not even greed. It's sensible.
That's true. Like if you could keep
greed is the Dodgers and the Blue Jays. This is sensible.
But here's market greed.
But here's the thing: we don't know what the Cubs are thinking. They may just be sitting back. Let's listen to all these offers. And if somebody wants to do something crazy and give us their top prospect and a couple major leaguers and a really good bullpen arm or something like that, you have to listen. I think that's all I'm saying. You have to listen to these possibilities. Would it be crazy to think that Nico Horner would be back? No. In fact, I still think he probably will be back with the Cubs next year. But you're crazy if you don't listen to what other teams want to give you for this player.
Mark, you're absolutely right. You're crazy if you don't listen. That's a Marshall Harris principle. Like, that's how I live my life. I have to have my ears open and be willing to hear what crazy things someone might offer me for whatever.
I don't listen and love having my head in the sand.
But at the same time, I think the point Layla and I agree on here is that you just set yourself up to make a run in 2026. I would not like a deal that took away from your ability to make as strong a run in 2026 as you could do right now. And I think trading Nico Horner likely takes away from your ability to make a run before a work stoppage, in which we don't even know what baseball is going to look like the next time they play the field after this season.
Which is why they might want to be inspired to trade. I understand that. And you're right, Mark. You have to listen to everything. Like, one of the biggest lessons I learned was when the Cardinals data got leaked and the Astros data got leaked because of that scandal, was how many trades that like sounded like sports talk radio were out there. It was like, hey, can we get Giancarlo Stanton? And they're like, yeah, for Nolan Ryan. I mean, obviously that's not what happened, but you know, it was that kind of concept. Like that's what they do.
Yeah.
So you sure as hell bet we're going to do it. But at the same time, the message that you're sending to not just your fans, but the team, when it's somebody who is one of yours,
right,
who came up with you.
Sure. No doubt.
That is a big part of this as well. How much do second contracts mean to the team when they see a guy come up through the farm system and it's somebody like Nico?
Right, which is why I don't think they would do it unless they felt like they were getting something legitimate. Like, I don't think the Cubs, Jed Hoyer is not sitting there saying, I want to get rid of Nico. He knows exactly how valuable he is. The other part of this, too, is the Matt Shaw part of this.
Who?
Like mini PCA. Remember, there was a period of time where I was calling him the real PCA.
The former starting third baseman for the Cubs?
Yes. Yes, the former starting third baseman for the Cubs.
Real
hey,
PCA.
Who's to say that he doesn't make the kind of jump that, say, PCA made last year? The improbable things that can occur. Michael Bush, the development that he's had. What Carson Kelly did last year for the Cubs. It's not inconceivable that Matt Shaw, first round pick, right? Matt Shaw?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not inconceivable that you have a really good prospect or product in Matt Shaw. We don't know yet, but there is evidence to suggest the Cubs are pretty good at developing young players in this particular era.
Well, since we're here, let's go to Sahadev Sharma's article in The Athletic. And the headline says, Cubs are contenders again. They can't do something silly like trade Nico Hoerner. In this story, you know, he talks about that very possibility. Here's what makes this a little more interesting for the Cubs, though, Mark, to your point, actually, is the emotional hometown guy San Francisco situation going on with the Giants. Nico went to Stanford. He's from the Bay Area. And I wonder how much that matters to a guy like Buster Posey, if that does mean that he would be willing to give up more for that for that possibility.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
And I know that typically that shouldn't matter. But when there's an emotional buy, does it up the price?
Yeah. I think Nico would like to be, honestly, like he's from there. I think he'd rather stay here. I don't think he wants to go home.
I think he may not want to go home, but if the options are Chicago and you have to pick another city, it's hard for me to believe San Francisco wouldn't be the next city on his list.
I agree with that, but I'm sold on Nico loving Cubsness. Like there are,
he's been very open.
He is a big market brain too. You know what I mean? Like he understands the mentality. We played that cut last week about him understanding what life is like in the Chicago fishbowl. He definitely embraces big marketness. Another reason why you want him on this team.
What's going to be great is how this is going to transpire between now and Friday and through the weekend because, you know, that whole convention thing.
Y'all better chant. Yeah. We got to come up with some sort of chant like, don't trade Nico.
Will Nico be at the Bears game?
That would be
leverage, man.
Nico's definitely going to be the Bears.
I'm Nico Hoerner. You don't want to lose me, do you?
I know a way to find out. So that's the latest from Jeff Passan. I feel like we're going to be living in this stupid limbo for a while. But that's what happens when you get somebody like Alex Bregman. Who's gonna fit where and how? And unfortunately, that's part of the discussion. This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. We get back to Bears talk next. Our producers are Ray Diaz. Tyler Buterbaugh is helping us out today. We also have Brandon Fryer assisting as well. You can call us and text us. 312-644-6767 is our number. You join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Hello to our mob. Our video team is Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. Additionally, we're on YouTube. 670 The Score is our address on YouTube, and we broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Let's get back to more of the Bears discussion, because this is our bonus day. It is a bonus, I'd say, football Monday, just on a Tuesday, if you're into that type of thing.
I'm into it.
Bears.
So let's examine not only Caleb Williams' growth this season, and really, I think, an exponential leap he made on Saturday, even for him, but also the leadership side of it. Let's go inside the locker room. Not Mark's, that's at 125, but more next.
The Raheemi Harrison Grody Show, middays 10 to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
In the post-game locker room, what did it mean to you to stand next to Caleb and then hear him get emotional, choked up when talking about the impact you've had on him?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see that coming. You know, it's why you get into coaching is you want to make an impact on the people around you. You know, it meant a lot. It really did.
That was Ben Johnson talking about how Caleb Williams gave him the game ball that he gave Caleb Williams. See, Willie, Iceman, whichever you want to call him, 361 yards in the win over the Packers. 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, only sacked once. That was for a loss of 9 yards. This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And I think one of the lasting images off the field, or at least not between the sidelines, was Caleb Williams fired up on the bench yelling at players, because not only could you tell he wanted this, but that's what quarterbacks will do at times during a very heated, passionate game.
Did you notice this in real time from the press box, or did you just see it later as far as how demonstrative Caleb Williams was being on the sideline? I'm curious.
I didn't see from the press box, like the where we are situated, the Bears sideline is on the far side from where we are. So
right.
We have monitors. Saw it on the monitors just like everybody else, okay. Like the replay. Yeah.
And I do think that there are times where we try to put people into roles that don't necessarily fit them. Like, oh, if you're a quarterback, you're a leader. Everybody be the same. You know, there's some sort of template that people want that guy to follow. I haven't gotten that vibe from Caleb Williams. Like, he's, as we know, cool, calm, and collected on the podium. But in times when it's heated like that, I don't mind seeing the fire and the passion, for lack of a better term. That's for sure.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I thought it was justified. I think Caleb has earned that. He's earned the respect of that locker room now, having been here for two seasons now. He's earned the right to do something like that. I didn't have a problem with for a second in the moment, and I wouldn't mind if he did it again. If it happens against the Rams out there at Soldier Field, if something goes awry, if somebody as a receiver is not where he is supposed to be, that's what great quarterbacks do. I mean, how many times do we see Tom Brady doing things like that? John Elway doing things like that?
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning forever doing that. And I get it. Those are made men. And Caleb is not a made man yet, but he is getting there. And the things that he is doing with his arm, he has earned the right to do what he did on that sideline. And if he does it again, I'm cool.
I think what he did Saturday night is a step towards being the made man that you described.
I agree.
Because if you can't take command of your team, your offense, in bad moments and good moments alike, and if your team doesn't respect you enough to respond, as they did, by the way, on Saturday night with the aforementioned 25 fourth quarter points, then you're not getting the respect level that you need from your teammates. But I think he has that. They can all see, and they've all talked about over the course of the season, how much he's grown, not from year one to year two. I'm just talking about the growth from training camp at the start of year two, first year of Ben Johnson, to this point in the playoffs where his team's still playing for a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, and to that end, you know, it's also about how you wrap it up as well. People look to you for your last words to this game. They look to you in the locker room. So let's listen to inside that Bears locker room and Caleb Williams talking to his team.
15 years, they said. You know, it's the, you know, haven't beaten, you know, Green Bay or whatever since whatever, right? Talk everything. Look at this guy right here.
First playoff win.
Everything he's done for us as a coach, everything the other coaches have done for us. Mm-hmm. You know, and it started with him, with bringing in everybody and
get emotional.
All that, right? And for me personally, he's been, say get emotional. Mm. For me personally, he's been monumental in my life so far.
Yeah.
And so to his first playoff win as Chicago Bears. Yeah.
When you hear that, what do you think?
I think Ben Johnson got a true reflection of his quarterback's growth under his leadership. And understand this, Ben Johnson's been very successful as a play caller in the NFL. But I thought that moment, not just the win, but what transpired in the locker room after, is a distinct marker in his growth from being an offensive play caller to being a leader of men. As a head coach, that was a big step forward, not just for Caleb Williams, but also the acknowledgement that Ben Johnson has now reached another level in his coaching journey.
All I could think about when I heard that was, sorry, Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron. That's all I could think about. Like, think about Caleb saying, giving the head coach a game ball after what went on last year with that coaching staff and that quarterback. And whether you want to believe the things that we read in the offseason, the Tyler Dunn piece that was written, the stuff which was documented pretty well in the Wickersham book, and Carl Williams, and everything that we're talking about because of last year, it's amazing. And I truly, like, I'm tired of mentioning those names, Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron, and I'm sure people are tired of hearing their names, but that's what I thought of, that, oh my God, like, he has gotten that quarterback to buy in, and my guess, it's a tricky task to get Caleb Williams to buy in because he knows how good he is.
Well, and it's that part of it, too, is that you're not going to get like that outright enthusiasm. You know, it might not be the script people want him to say when it comes to what he says on a podium, which that's how he's operated. That's authentic to him. That's been that way for a long time, as we all know. And I accept that. The Seth Wickersham book offered a lot of insight into who he is as a person and how he became this way. And I admire the fact that there was that much discipline at such a young age to be able to earn even all the money he's made now as a compliment. So for him to ceremoniously do that, I thought that that was a very big thing as well.
I also think it's a marker of one more thing, which we've now seen from two different places in a very short time span. The organizational growth of both the Bears and both the Cubs over the last week is something that you have to acknowledge. The Cubs and their decision to pay real money to someone and look like a big market team and getting Alex Bregman for 5 years in the 175. And now the Bears and going out and hiring a guy like Ben Johnson, who is freely allowed to use whatever language it takes to describe a situation, and George McCaskey is on board with it. That, coupled with each other, understanding where the Blackhawks is and their ascension with Connor Bedard, just leads me to one conclusion. Your turn, Bulls and White Sox.
Okay.
Step up.
Okay.
Step up.
I think regardless, though, sometimes leaders are made. Sometimes situations will make you, and I think that's what we saw on Saturday. First time in 15 years, we take it. Coming up next here on Rahimi Harrison Grody, a guy who can answer that question a bit, and I think help us understand that discussion further. It's Patrick Manley, the longest tenured Bear. I'm sure he's pretty happy about what happened to be able to talk about a Bears playoff win. We'll do that with him next.